Do you believe it's all right for God's children to have a little fun? Amen. Is it all right for God's children to enjoy living life? Amen. I think sometimes we come to the place that it's so much humdrum and just you know, so dull. Sometimes the Lord wants us to just enjoy living a little bit. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And I intend on reading one scripture in your hearing. Hallelujah. If you've got your Bibles and want to follow along with us for a little while, 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 8th verse. Hallelujah. How many of you are going to help me preach a little while tonight? Hallelujah. If you'll help me preach, we'll get done quicker. Will that work? 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 8th verse, and it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." I want to look at that verse for just a little while tonight. And it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you." Able to make all grace abound towards you. I wish if you would, if you just look to the Lord with us in a word of prayer for just a moment tonight, ask Him to bless this place, that He would move in our midst. Lord, that You might reach down, Lord, and touch in this house, Lord, that You would do a work here, God. Lord, that You might move, Heavenly Father. Help us, O God, to be able to minister, Lord, tonight, the things that You would place upon our heart, God. Lord, we bind each and every spirit that would come against this service, Lord. We bind it in Jesus' name, and we ask You, Lord, to move in this place tonight. God, that Your will might be performed, that Your will might be done. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Do you still believe He's worthy? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The scripture verse said, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you." I want to ask us tonight, where would we be and where would we find ourselves in this day and hour that we are living in without the grace of God? And come on, church. Hallelujah. I said, where would we find ourselves in the day and hour that we are living in without the grace of God? Now, I don't know about you, Brother Buddy, but I can look back over my life and the various things that I have gotten myself into and various instances that have happened to me and things that I have been untangled with. And Brother Frank, I can say of a surety tonight that I would not be here had it not been for the grace and the mercy and the love of the Almighty God. Now, the Word teaches us this evening that we are not to judge one another. And then we're not to look down, Brother Brian, on one another. Hang on, I feel the Holy Ghost. Ah, Lord. That we're not supposed to be a judge one to another. That if we see our brother in a fault, we're not supposed to judge our brother, but we're supposed to go to him and we're supposed to lift him up. Brother Tony, we're supposed to help him, try to make it to where he needs to be in God. And instead of being so judgmental, and it's easy to do, and so many times we look at the world that is living around us, and it's really easy for us to begin to look at this one and begin to look at that one. And if we want to find fault and we want to find failure, if that's our goal in life and that's our mission, it ought not be, but if it is, we can find it in anybody we want to find it in if we look long enough. Yeah, hello? Am I right? Hallelujah. We'll find something there that we just don't rightly agree with. Amen? But I want to submit unto you tonight that there is only one person in heaven or in earth that has the right and the authority to judge you and I. Hallelujah. I said there is only one person that has the right or the authority tonight, Brother Frank, to judge you and I. And that is the Lord God Almighty, the very one who reached down and began to move through the hearts of men to pen the scriptures that we have read from in this entire word that we've we take to heart. And the man that he reached down and he began to speak to Paul's heart as Paul was writing to the church there at Corinth. And he began to pen the words, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. I want to tell us tonight, if it were not for the grace of God, there is not an individual that is here tonight sitting on a church pew that's here because you're worthy, that's here because you're worthy, that's here because you've done what it takes to get here. Brother Buddy, there's not a one of us here tonight that has through our own works or through within ourselves have the ability to be able to go forth and to sit in this house and to feel the power of the Almighty God. Come on, somebody. To feel the power of the Almighty God and to enter into His presence and to enter into His place except for the grace and the mercies of God. We look at a man by the name of Paul that was on his way to Damascus to kill the entire church. That's what he had in heart to. He was going to take and throw him into prison. He was going to squash this thing. He was going to stop it. But on that road, the Bible says there was a light shone down from heaven, and he smote him, and he fell to the ground. And those who were with him began to hear a voice. And the voice said, Saul, Saul. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard for thee to go against me. And Saul said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And there on that road, Saul had a life-changing experience. Now, come on, somebody. And he began to travel. And the Bible says that the Lord smote him with blindness and they led him around, but the buddy by the hand. Oh, hallelujah. But when the time was come that Paul once again received his sight, and Paul was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and Paul began to preach, and Paul began to teach, and Paul began to tell them all things concerning what God would have. And we can read for the signs and the things that followed the ministry that Paul had. And we know that Paul had a walk with God. We know that Paul had a life-changing experience. And in that life-changing experience, he got a hold of something. Come on, somebody. I said, he got a hold of something. Way deep down in the depths of his heart, there was something that got a hold of him there on that road. And he changed his life. And he began to go about preaching. And he began to go about telling folks about the very individual that he persecuted. The very one that he tried to squash out. Those very believers that he would haul to prison. Have them beaten. Have them killed. He was the very one that the men threw their feet, their coat in his feet when Stephen was stoned. And he stood there and condoned it. And he was a part of it, and he loved it because he thought he was helping God. He thought he was doing what he needed to do. But Paul wrote that my righteousness is but as filthy rag. Hello? Can I tell you that Paul had a much more sordid task than any of us in this building tonight could have ever had or has ever had? I don't believe there's an individual in this building tonight that has stood and condoned men to kill someone for their faith and what they believe. But the grace of God was abundant for Paul. The grace of God was abundant unto him. But Paul learned to realize, and Paul came to a conclusion, and Paul came to an understanding that without the grace of God, he was not able to make it. He said there was a thorn in his flesh that he sought the Lord for 3 times, and God sought him. He said, my grace is sufficient. Come on, somebody. He said, my grace is sufficient. Paul came to realize, and Paul came to understand that, church, I want to tell us tonight that we're living here amongst the world that is full of sin and torment. And there are things, my Lord, there's things that we don't have no business messing with that we need to stay away from. Now you believe it? There are things that God requires us to just stay away from, just leave it alone. Now the Word said he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is a sin. Amen? If there's something that we know we ought not get ourselves entangled with, we better not get tangled with. Hello, somebody. If there's something that we know we don't have no business messing with, we don't need to mess with it. But we are human beings. We are sent here upon this earth to serve Him. But there are going to be times come along, Brother Frank, that we're going to stub our toe. There are going to be times that we're going to make a mistake. There's going to be times there's going to be fault. There's going to be times there's going to be failure. But God said, make all grace abound towards you. That all grace could abound towards us. here tonight. My Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. I wish you'd feel it like I do. Hallelujah. He's in this house tonight. I want to tell somebody tonight, I believe there's some things that you've been fighting. There's some things that you've been fighting with that the devil has thrown up in you, against you, to tell you you're not good enough, to tell you you can't make it, to tell you you're not that person. I want to tell you tonight, there's not a one of us in this house that's good enough, but through the grace and the mercy of God, that anyone that God would call, anyone that God would speak to, anyone that God would tell, if we can only get a hold of that grace, if we can get a hold of that mercy, come on somebody tonight, there's not an individual in this house that cannot do anything God calls you to do through His grace. Oh, glory, I wish somebody just loved Him right now. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. They brought a woman unto Him. Said, Jesus, this lady was caught in the very act of adultery. We caught her there. Moses' law says that we are to stone. But what did you say? You know the story. Jesus looked at him and He said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. And he just stooped down and he began to write in the ground. Ah, Lord. I've heard Daddy Bill say a lot of times, I sure would like to know what it was he was writing. But he stooped down and he began to write in the ground. And he stood there and he wrote for a little while. And then he stood up and he began to look around and he said, woman, where art thou accusers? And she said, Lord, I have none. There's nobody left here but you. There's nobody left here but you. There was only one individual standing before that woman when it was all said and done that had the authority and the power to rightly judge what she had been into. Now, I've heard preachers preach, and I have heard it said that the Bible does not say the men that brought her unto Jesus. I have heard preachers say that they had been in the act of adultery themselves and thought back and remembered. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But they begin to think back of some time. There was some Friday, and I'm looking, and, well, I'm not going to, I'll pass on the name. There was a youngster that's in our midst tonight. Can I put it like that? Wrote on the board back there that, I don't remember the exact words, but basically said you didn't do nothing wrong until you got caught. I don't remember the exact way it was written and the exact verbiage and the exact phrase, but it basically said that you didn't do nothing wrong but until you got caught. Now, that's not really true. You don't get in trouble until you get caught, but sin is sin. But I believe they begin to think back of what would have happened to them if they had got caught at a certain time in their life. And they couldn't bring themselves to heave that stone, and they dropped it, and they walked off. One by one, they all left. And Jesus, when He got through writing in the sand, He stood up and He looked at that woman and He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Church, I'm here to tell us that the devil would love nothing more than to throw the things up in our face that we have had in our past. The devil would love to bring our past back and throw it at us. The devil would love to bring our past back and to bring it to our remembrance. But you know what the Word said? The Word said that God would take them sin once they're placed underneath the blood and cast them in the depths of the sea through His grace and through His mercy. And He would never, ever, ever remember them again. My God, somebody, the only person that's keeping a tab and the only person that even remembers is that slew foot and devil himself. I want to tell you, if it's under the blood, leave it under the blood. I said, if it's under the blood, leave it under the blood. Let the grace of God take care of it. Let the mercy of God take care of it. And if it's not, get it there. My Lord, that devil used to torment me to death, brother. Things I used to do. Now, come on. I probably hadn't been the roughest person on the block. Because he's come to the realization and the understanding that there's one thing that I know, and I know for certain, and that is God's grace is sufficient. I said God's grace is sufficient. You know how I broke him? I'll tell you how I broke him. He would come throwing those things. You remember this? I said, yeah. You know, and I know, Brother Brian, it's already placed under the blood. But just in case it isn't, thank you for reminding me, and God forgive me of it. Come on, church. And stand on that written word of God. Can I tell you, it don't take him very long till he decides, I'm going to leave that, but I'm not going to do that no more. And he has to change his tactic a little bit. I want to tell somebody in this house tonight that there is no reason for you to take something that happened yesterday and continue to beat yourself down in the pits of hell with it, because God doesn't intend it. That ain't what God wanted. God intended for us to be victorious. God intended for us to come out from among them and be his shepherds, saying the Lord, and to shake off those chains and the bondage and the things that has drug us down. Church, when we kneel at an altar and God forgives us of our sin through our repentance and fills us with the Holy Ghost, there is nothing that is unachievable with us if we'll get a hold of what God is trying to tell us and hold on with everything we got. I'm telling somebody, his grace is sufficient. Let all the grace abound. And it ain't just a one-time deal. It keeps going and going and going and going and going. I heard a preacher say a while back, but Buddy, and I agreed with him for a moment, and I still can't say just 100% total disagreement, but he said we have lost the fear in the day and hour that we are living in for the ministry in the church. He said, what I believe need to happen, as it was in the days of old when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost, he said, you let a couple of folks come in the church house playing games with God and fall dead, and people would get right. Now they would. And I thought, man, you know, that would that would stir some folk up. I can hear tell, I've heard stories of how that folks in the olden days, when the power of God would really move and the Spirit of God would really fall, they were scared to death to come in the church house with something in their heart that went right. And come on. And they'd have prayer meetings, Brother Buddy, at their house before they got there. Hello? Because when they entered into that place, there was a fear and a reverence and a respect towards God. And I thought, my Lord, it needs to be there. That still needs to be there. But then I stopped just a minute and I said, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. Before I get too carried away with myself. My Lord. It would bring us to a place within the church, and it would restore a fear in the ministry, and it would restore a fear unto God that I believe that we as a church have lost. But I thought, my Lord, there was a time that individual dropping dead could have been me. Hello? I said, there was a time that individual dropping dead could have been me. How many times have we come in this house knowing that there was things inside our heart that wouldn't line up within this word? But come on, somebody. How many times have we come and set ourselves on a church pew knowing good saying, well, there was something in our heart and in our life that didn't line up to it, that didn't line up to what God was telling us, knowing good saying, well, we were running for something God was trying to get us to do, knowing good saying, well, that we was hanging on to things that God was telling us and God was commanding us and God was leading us, brother, buddy, to let go of. My Lord, I could have been that one. It could have been me, except for the grace and the mercy. Come on, somebody, I wish you'd get with me. Except for the grace and the mercy of the Almighty God. My Lord. But his grace is sufficient. I said his grace is sufficient. I want to tell somebody tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I hope I just talked to some individuals in this house tonight. I believe I have. I want to tell somebody tonight that God's grace is enough. I said, God's grace is enough. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? And I also want to tell somebody tonight, it's not a one-time shot. But that grace is ever abounding. If we'll come to that place, the Word called David a man after God's own heart. And we know the story how that David sinned and David fell before God. But when it was brought unto him by the prophet and told him what he'd done and the things that he needed to straighten up, the Bible says that David fell on his face before God. Hello? Now it cost him something. It cost him that child that was born unto him. The Lord took his life. It cost him something. There is a price. Oh, my Lord. Somebody. There is a price that we have to pay for the sin that we commit and that we get into. Now, come on. I believe in it. I believe sometimes there's things that we have to go through and that we have to fight through to get to where God is wanting us to be because of things we have simply put on ourselves that we need to mess with in the first place. And it cost David. It cost that son. But God forgave him when he fell on his face and he cried out unto God and he said, Lord, I'm sorry. God, I realize what I've done. Lord, would you forgive me of it? And God was faithful and just. And God reached down. And God forgave him. And that grace was still abounding. And that mercy was still abounding. Can I say to you tonight that the parable that the prophet spoke unto David said that there was a man who had a bunch of sheep or a bunch of lamb. And there was one. There was a poor man that lived beside him that only had one. And there was a stranger that came to the house. And the rich man took the poor man's one that he only had that was just like a son to him. And he slayed it and prepared it for the stranger that was passing through. And David looked at the prophet and he said, you go get that man and you bring him to me and he will be put to death. And the prophet said, thou art the man. Thou art the man. God could have judged David with the very same judgment that he placed on that individual. And had that had been a true story, David would have stood and watched that rich man died. Hello? Because he was the king. And he had the authority to pass the judgment. Church, I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's the only one with the authority to pass the judgment over you and I. And we need to come before Him. Oh, come on, somebody. I said we need to come before Him. And that respect and that fear before God needs to continually be there. He said not to take thought, not to fear the man which can only take your body, but to fear the one that can take the body and the soul. Hallelujah. He's here tonight. I said, He's here tonight. You believe it? I do. He's here tonight. And that grace and that mercy is still flowing abundantly from the throne of God to us. I wish if we could, we'd all just stand all across this building tonight. Now, Sister Barbara, I told you I wasn't going to go 3 hours, did I? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to ask you, church, if the devil has been fighting you, if the devil has jumped on your shoulder, if he's been on your back trying to tell you that you're not good enough and you can't make it and you can't do it, I want to tell you tonight that he's a liar and the father of liars. The Bible says that the truth is not in him. It's not there nowhere, by the way. Because he's a liar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight, the devil has been pounding you. If you're here tonight and you've got some things that you need to bring under the bloodshed of Jesus. If you're here tonight and you've got something in your life you need that grace and that mercy to cover, I want to tell you that these altars are open up here at the front. If you would come and pray, hallelujah, I want to ask you tonight, these altars are open up here at the front. If God has dealt with your heart, if the Lord has spoken unto you this, oh church, come on somebody, I wish the church of the living God would help me. I wish somebody would begin to pray right now. Hallelujah, there's some people here that need to get some things. Hallelujah, there's some people here that need to get some things to the point in their mind to where the devil cannot torment them any longer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the grace of God is sufficient. I said I'm telling you the grace of God, it is sufficient. Hallelujah. And God will do it if we'll let Him. Hallelujah. I said God will do it if we'll let Him. Hallelujah. Can we let Him do that work right now, church? I said, can we let Him do that work right now? Hallelujah. I wish we all just across this building, all across this building from the front to back. Let's just lift our hands and love the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Let's thank Him for that grace and that mercy. Let's establish it somewhere deep down on the inside of my heart that I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to allow that devil to frustrate me. I'm not going to allow that devil to torment me. But I'm standing upon the Word of God, upon the truth of God, and I'm not going back.
That man on the cross, he was a sinner. He was a thief, a common, ordinary thief. That woman there, as Brother Michael said, she was an adulteress. But the Lord looked at her and He said, neither do I condemn thee. But He meant to go and sin no more. Brother Brown, when He said, neither do I condemn thee, now all she did in the past, it was wiped away. All she done behind her, it was all over with. But he looked at him and he said, don't do it again. You're covered. Looks at that man on the cross and he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. All those banks he robbed, those 7-Eleven stores that he robbed, those homes that he broke into and robbed, it's all over with and forgotten about. The Lord forgave him. Church, He forgive you. He forgave you. His blood covered our sins. And for some of us, there was probably a bunch of them. Some of them might not have been as many. Where it was one, or where it was 100, the blood of Jesus Christ covered a multitude of sins. I'd like for you, if you will, we're going to let you go here in a few minutes. I'd like, if you will, just to come around here to this altar. Every one of you. And let's just thank God as a group together. Let's thank God because, Lord, for what You have already done for us. But let's thank Him for it. Because knowing that He forgave us, He didn't have to. He didn't have to give His life. Lord, we love You, Jesus. Lord, we thank You, God, because of Your goodness and Your mercy. Lord, of the shedding of Your blood, Your word said where there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God, Your grace, dear Jesus, that abounded to us, Lord, that help us to make a way for us when there seemeth no way. We love You for it tonight, Lord. We praise You for it tonight, Lord. We magnify Your name tonight, Lord. You're worthy of our praise, Almighty God. We glorify You, Jesus. We honor Your name. Your name is the rock in Christ. Till my throne is out.